I am sat here in the mountains with Emmanuel Sanubi, MVP of the sesh of Altitude 2024. You have no right to look as fresh as you look, you motherfucker.
Do you know what? I don't feel fresh at all. I really want to put my sunglasses back on because that is horribly bright. I've not been this hungover constantly for a long time.
You've been redlining since we got on the bus.
Oh my God, that bus ride escalated so quickly.
And why do you think that was?
Because of you and I, 100%.
The 3-minute challenges.
You don't want someone that compliments your drinking with more drinking at the pace that you are really happy to do it.
Mm-hmm. When they sell booze on the bus.
Yeah. Well, that was an issue for me. I bought a litre of vodka that I wasn't planning on bringing, because before this week, I'd said, I'm not drinking. I might have a couple, but I'm not really going to drink.
You didn't truly believe that though, right?
Do you know when you really do? Mm. Like you go, yeah, that's a good idea. And then we got off the plane, going through Munich airport, and all it took was the sign that says deal of the day.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a litre of vodka, of nice vodka, for €12. And I thought, well, I'll get that. That'll last me the week.
And there's nice beer on tap in the airport too. Yeah. So while you're waiting for the other flights to arrive,
right. And I thought, that litre, that's going to last.
That's going to last the week. Did it last you the bus?
It didn't last me the bus. I literally had about 4 shots left in it by the time we got here. Mm-hmm. And because I didn't like any of the mixers that they had in the shop, I decided that I'd use cider, apple cider, as the mixer.
As the mixer.
Vodka
and cider.
Yeah.
So I remember I kicked off when this the simplest of things, right? I'm just sat at the back with the girls, with Soraya. This is on a 2-hour bus from Munich to Meyerhofen, where we're currently at Altitude Festival. You just come up and just gatecrash the conversation with your charisma, and nobody's suspicious of anything. Yeah. And then you compliment Soraya on her sunglasses, and then you compliment Natalie on hers, and then you hand them back, and they both put on each other's sunglasses.
Yeah.
Like sleight of hand.
Yeah.
And then you went, stop the clock, and Amy was like, 50 seconds. And what had happened is she went, 3-minute challenge. You've got to make the girls swap sunglasses without telling them what you're doing.
Which is... a nice fun game. No one gets hurt. It's fine. And then all of a sudden, it just escalated and everything became a good idea.
Yeah. It was like, one of them was like, Amy, you've got 3 minutes to get 10 socks.
Yeah.
It's just up and down the bus. There's people on this bus that don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
They haven't clicked on yet. Eventually, they start clicking on, but eventually they start escalating. There's one of them where Hayden Askins was told, you've got 3 minutes to crawl to the front of the bus, get a beer, and crawl back on your belly. Like
His elbows.
His elbows were in tatters. Carpet burns all down his elbows.
It was so bad. Amy was like, Hayden, you're right. He's like, yeah, I'm fine. And it was just, it looked like he'd been crawling through gravel. It was bad, wasn't it?
Yeah. Day minus one. And then I'd never met Tamar Catton before.
Oh, yeah, he had to...
And you said to me, "Go, Tamar would love this game. Go and get Tamar to the back of the bus, but he's not allowed to touch the floor."
Yeah.
"You've got 3 minutes." And then I was just like, "Come to the back of the bus tomorrow, man. I want to hang out. By the way, floor's lava." And he was like, "No." And I was like, "Get on me back." He's like, no, I'll crush you, man." I was like, you Americans don't take floor's lava very seriously. We take it really seriously in the UK.
Oh, it was when he had to get was it him that had to do a conga line? It had to be a minimum of 5 people, including him, and he missed it by 1.
Mm-hmm.
It was it was a lot of fun,
but it was just stupidity. Like, it was silly. Like, it wasn't.
But no one had even said forfeits. It was just as soon as somebody done it, everybody just drunk. So it was. And then it was like, let me think. When was it? Yeah, just going. Let's do shots. Just getting everyone involved. Let's just do shots.
And I spilled out that bus so fucking drunk, man. Like, I got off at the wrong stop because it wasn't the hotel I was staying at, and I knew that, but Arsenal Man City had just kicked off, and I just grabbed my bags and ran to the nearest pub my suitcases.
That Sunday night was so Monday.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of people that I saw that I didn't know were here. And they were like, we spoke to you last night. We spoke to you at the mill last night. Like,
how the mill?
Yeah, I was like, I don't even know what I ate.
Yeah.
And it was even in the people from the bar. And I was like, I don't know when I've spoken to any of you. That was so, so. that was the worst one of the week, but it sort of trickled into the rest of the week.
Uh-huh. And we have to do performances around this as well. When we're, you, do you know what happened last night?
On which one?
I had just taken magic mushrooms. And Mark Nelson asked if I had any more. And I was like, oh, but you'll have to get them now because it's off this girl, right? And then he was like, I've got a gig in an hour. And I just looked at him and like, do it. And he took magic mushrooms just before his gig.
Oh,
like an hour before. So the other acts are on. And like, the only thing is...
That explains so much.
But we didn't get that real like breakout trip visual thing. Right. It was like, it was so weird because it was like... It was like a CBD version of it. It felt like it wasn't like you were getting like something was happening. I was like, I want to get behind the wheel right now. It's like I was drunk as well, so it's hard to isolate like what it is. But it wasn't getting that breakout. So I was like, oh, he's going to be all right here. But he said his brain had just like froze to a halt and he was living in the moment and he couldn't think back to his material. He couldn't think forward to what the gig was going to be like.
When he was on stage, like that's what I mean. This makes so much sense now because he started off the gig and I don't know why because it's not a Mark Nelson thing. He started off for some reason trying to be clean. And it just like, and we're talking 2 minutes of this trying to be clean and it just wasn't working. And you just saw something switch in him and just go straight into some of the darkest stuff he's ever done.
Oh, because I'm gonna repeat one of the things he said last night, but first we need to give it the context.
Yeah.
Were you at the gig when he was on with me and Daniel and Paul Smith at the gala show?
Yeah.
What he didn't know...
Oh, yes.
Was that Leslie, Daniel and Matthew's mother, had convinced Amy, look, the kids are streetwise. They might not get everything, but what they do here won't affect them too much. Like, I brought my kids to comedy this young and all that. They'll be all right. Just get them up on the balcony. They can play on their phones or whatever the fuck they do, right? Mark Nelson didn't know they were in, and he gets into a...
I really thought he knew they were in.
Nope.
And
he was gutted.
Oh, God, afterwards, his face, his heart, you see his heart sink.
So what...
Yeah, go on.
What Mark Nelson said on stage was, I hate it when I'm talking to parents of multiple children and they pretend like they don't have a favourite.
Yeah.
Of course you've got a favourite. Like, for instance, my favourite's my daughter and my son's a little cunt.
Oh, and it was looking over at his little face as his dad said that.
Who's his favourite?
He looks so...
Were you sat with him?
Yeah.
Oh, because I was backstage?
Yeah.
I heard about it after?
So I was up in the balcony and... When he started, I'm looking over the kids, watching their dad, and I'm thinking, this is such a lovely moment. Because I remember when the time that my kids have seen me perform was on a cruise ship, but that was a family show. And I did a clean set.
Yeah, lovely.
But you knew
they were there. Yeah, it was tailored slightly for them.
And it was nice for your kids to see what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're leaving the house all the time and going away for weekends and stuff.
And now they know exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so seeing their face when he started talking about them, then when he said that, mine's my daughter, and they both just looked up and she's smiling and he's just distraught that actually hearing it, because you think he doesn't know that daddy's joking right now. And then even following that, when he started talking about...
And I bet everyone just like looked at him and made it a bit more of a thing. Like, what was people's reactions like on the balcony?
Everyone looked at them for every punchline as that set got darker and darker, because he then goes into there was a lot about the different types of dildos that they've got that he's used on himself.
And also having to throw out one of the dildos because the kid got it or something. Was that one? He was your daughter's touched it. Was that his?
Yes, that was his as well. So following that, when he let loose yesterday...
that was so funny because just to add on top of that, he like said to Seamus afterwards when he found out what had happened, he said, I alternate every time I do a gig, it's you are my favourite and Nyla's the cunt. Trying to explain this to an 8-year-old.
Oh, God.
It's so bad. And then I was telling a couple of comedians that's what he had said to backtrack out of it.
Yeah.
And I just saw Kate Williams, Andy Askins' daughter, just the penny drop that's what her dad's been saying to her.
All
through her childhood. It's all right, Kate. Sometimes it's Amy, sometimes it's Hayden. And she just believed it. It's just like, oh, so that's just what you say to the kid that you're real about.
Oh, yes.
And then last night, it was what was the line? It was something along the lines of, I don't know if anyone was there at the gala show. Oh, he said something about Seamus being his favourite child at that one, and everybody laughed. And I goes, oh, I see you all at the gala show where I created a school shooter.
Oh, brilliant line.
He's going to have to record two specials now.
Yeah.
Because
show one of them one, oh, the other one the other.
Yeah. We'll never sit down and watch it as a family.
Oh, you can't now. Like, there are some things that I don't let my kids watch of what I've done because they're not old enough to know that daddy's joking.
Yeah.
And I think Noah already heard it on a, I think he heard it on the radio when I was like, do you know what? I can't stand either one of them. And he was just like, daddy? I was like, no, it's just for the radio, mate. Just for the radio. Don't mean it, of course.
Just for the approval of strangers.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah,
your emotions are collateral damage in this little exchange. Oh, man.
Well, I've actually started thinking that I need to get some footage of me saying really nice things about my kids. Because I don't know why it dawned on me. I was thinking, if anything happens to me and they start watching clips back when they're older, there is no clips of me saying anything nice about them.
Yeah.
At all.
So you need some like earnest stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you want to just get like a soundbite on this podcast we'll cut the context. We'll cut out the context of you setting up with footprints of like, this is just going to be used as a tool.
just watch this clip and nothing else that I've ever done.
That's so funny. I say something nice about your kids and then you'll just sit there just pondering a minute of dead air like you did yesterday on the reverence chairlift confessions. Me and Emmanuel done this show where you have to sit down and confess a couple of sins, and then ask you to say something good you've done in life, and the audience decide whether the good thing you've done offsets the sins that you've done. And he clearly hadn't given you the prep.
No.
And that you had to come up with. So you turned up with your sins and he asked you to say something good that you've done and you just had a memory blank.
So I'll tell you what that was about, because the first
they started playing the countdown music.
Yeah. And it was when they start that music, you cannot think that nothing's happening at that point. But what I'll tell you what it was, all the nice things that I've done or that I do, I didn't want to say any of them because I do them.
It wouldn't be altruistic anymore.
Yeah, I do them. I don't do them to tell anyone that I've done them.
Uh-huh.
And that's sort of the part of me that I keep to me.
That's sacred.
Yeah.
Anonymous donations.
Yeah. I tell you the thing that I can't stand when people film themselves helping someone.
Oh, that is abhorrent.
I think you're the worst people. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're costing the dignity of the person who you're giving the money to. You're buying that dignity off them. You're getting something for that money, and it's
I can't stand those people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're in a position to help someone, you've got a moral obligation to do so.
Yeah, so download the Comedian's Box and you can get it on. All proceeds went to charity.
So there's loads of stuff that you think that's happened over the last few years. But that's the stuff that if you're a part of it, you know about. But I'm not going to use that to offset something bad that I've done.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I used the good thing that I did was carrying my wife's skis.
Well, the only nice thing I could think of was that kid that I got the taxi home for that was really, really drunk.
Oh, yeah. This is a funny story, actually, because you put him in a taxi based on the address on his driving license.
And I thought I was being really... I thought I was Columbo-level clever. I figured out where this kid's lived and just sent him home.
Yeah.
No taxis would take him. And I looked after him, made sure he was all right, put him in a taxi, sent him off, and it was one of my mates that said, how do you know where he lives? I said, it's on his driving license.
I don't think my driving license has got my current address on it.
Yeah, and that's what he said afterwards. He goes, well, if that's not his current address?
Because you just wait until it's nearly expired and then do it again. Mm-hmm. I always find it weird that they put your address on your driving license. If you lose your stuff, everybody knows where you live.
Well, it's unnecessary. Like,
you know, if you lose your bag and it's got your house key and your wallet, they're like, oh, cool, an address and a key to the address.
Yeah.
Like, what a fucking unnecessary thing to do, Just put my email address and phone number on there as well, and you put my mother's maiden name.
You think about it, there's no reason to have your address on, I mean, your insurance documents, fine, but that's, no one ever loses those in the street, but you don't need your address on your driving license. It's pointless.
Nah. Yeah, I don't know how that hasn't been like changed yet. I don't know why people haven't made a fuss about it.
Well, there's loads of stupid laws.
There's such a data protection issue.
Yeah, there's loads of stupid laws that have never been changed and things like that. I think you still Hackney carriages are still meant to have a barrel of hay in the back of them legally.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's the old taxis.
Is this like the thing like when they say policemen have got to let a pregnant woman pee in the hat if they need to pee?
Yeah,
like them mythology.
Because I've never really looked into it.
Snopes will know. I did look into one of them, and I talked about this on a podcast with Mark. But Berwick was at war with Russia for like 110 years or something. I'm going to get the statistics of it wrong, but it was like something like when there was the Crimean War, something, and Queen Victoria declared war, but when she declared peace, she missed out that you have to add Berwick. It's always like in the dominions overseas, and it's not the United Kingdom, and like, you know, it's not just the United Kingdom. There's all these like things at the end, and Berwick was left off. So Berwick remained at war with Russia, and then like it was something like in the 60s, the mayor of Berwick come to an agreement with the Russian diplomats, and then made a statement that the Russians can sleep easily at night now that they're at peace.
that's like a whole couple of generations of people. They're like, are we still at war? I don't know if I'm meant to hate them still.
Yes. Is that what Matthew's got some data?
It just says pregnant women can use the pregnancy as a lawful defence for urinating anywhere, which technically includes the policeman's hat.
Right. So to repeat that, a pregnant woman can use. Say it again. They can use public property.
They can piss anywhere.
They can piss anywhere. Which is like, so people have just, so the myth of that's like they could have picked any item.
Yeah.
And a policeman's hat's the one item that they've chose, which is
so
actually.
They don't have to give you the hat, but if you want to piss in it, then you go, I'm pregnant.
I had a funny moment outside a loft one time when they wouldn't let Natalie back in for a pee, so I pretended she was pregnant, and then they still wouldn't let her in. And I got really angry that they wouldn't let my pregnant, even though she wasn't pregnant. He didn't know that she wasn't, and he wasn't going to let my pregnant wife in. And I got so fucking angry, I was ready to fight this doorman. And then Natalie was like, Kai, he's been watching us drinking all night. He's not letting us in because I'm a bad mother.
Do you know, there was, a friend's a strong term, an acquaintance of mine.
Daniel Sloss.
I was playing this comedy club in London, and a friend of mine came with his wife.
Yeah.
I say friend. I know him. Not friends. I never speak to him. Hence why I'm telling you this story.
Yeah.
He came to the show with, didn't know they were going to be there, and she's there. She sat there, I guess I'd say 3-4 months pregnant. She got a bump.
Yeah.
And they're just sat there throwing back pints, the both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on stage doing my set, but I'm looking at them thinking, the fuck is wrong with you? She's pint after pint. And then I find out she weren't pregnant. She just put on a load of weight.
Honestly, you didn't mention it though, did you?
Luckily, I didn't mention it.
Uh-huh.
Because had I not known them, I'd have mentioned it. Because it was one of those where there was, in my mind, there was no question.
Mm-hmm.
It was, because it wasn't just sort of, it was a pot belly, but it looked solid, like a
it had the kind of PSI for pregnancy bump rather than the jelly,
it didn't look like there was any sort of flab, it was just the belly. And I just thought, you irresponsible.
I've seen a comment about a pregnant woman go really well at a gig. It was risky, and I've seen a comment go really bad. And I'll tell you, Adam Bloom done the one that worked.
Yeah.
And Daryl Martin did the one that bombed.
Oh, what happened?
And it's all about stagecraft and charm and what you do. So the Adam Bloom one was, he was chatting to someone that's pregnant. He just had a girl not so long ago. And he was like, oh, is it a boy or a girl? And then she was like, oh, we don't know yet. We're not going to find out. And he got the mic stand and he hovered it over her belly and twisted it around as if he was doing a scan. He goes, it's a goner. And it worked. It got a laugh. She thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Charmed his way through it. There's a lot like you saw. Daryl Martin saw a girl on the front row that he presumed correctly that she was pregnant, and she had a glass of red wine in her hand, right? Yeah. And then he was like, so you're drinking wine and you're pregnant. All right, why don't in the interval we just go and smoke a 20-deck of cigarettes and kill it? utterly charmless.
Oh, That's not even.
It just fucking stunk the room out. I was at the back, like, no, I've got to go on.
Oh god, some people. There's. I remember watching this open micer back when I first started. Do one of the worst jokes. It wasn't even a joke. It was that bad.
Mm.
And you just see. I've never seen someone. Well, I have actually lose a room like that, and it was just deafening silence.
Uh-huh. And was it aimed at somebody, or was it just the material itself?
No, it was the material itself. And he was back. He started off by saying how he was much younger as well. His generation of people, no one likes them. Mm. And we're all thinking, because in this room, the average age has got to be like 30-ish.
Mm-hmm. Are them bells still tolling? Is it like 30 o'clock now?
Is it
like 45 o'clock? I know this is a sweat pit, Matthew, but like, let's shut the door and the window just until that fucking chime and stops.
Let's see. Yeah, so he started off with this. The whole premise was he doesn't like his generation either. And we're all on board at this point because neither do we.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, yeah, we've got no patience for anything. And he starts off by going into, he goes, when you go online and you try and get, you try and open up a page and it doesn't respond. And then you get a notification that comes up that says, oh, the page is not responding. Do you want to wait for it to respond or do you want to terminate the page? And I was just like, I don't know where you're going. And he goes, imagine if that happens in everyday life. Imagine you're driving down the road in your Bentley. I'm thinking, we're in a dive pub in the middle of London. No one here is relating to that.
The webpage doesn't do that, right? It's not responding. Yeah, it doesn't give you options.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
And he's going, imagine you're driving your Bentley and it just stops responding. I was like, well, someone clearly doesn't have a driving license because that's not how cars work. And he just started to lose the room anyway. He goes, and it says, do you want to wait for your Bentley to respond or terminate it? And now we're just confused.
Yeah.
Because it makes no sense. And then he doubles down. He goes, or imagine you've just had a baby. And I was just like, oh, please don't do it. And he'd done the same thing.
The baby's not responding.
Baby's not responding. Do you want to wait for it to respond or just terminate it now? And I was like, you've got
and that. That was his rule of three. He'd done the web page, the Bentley, then the baby.
But he stopped.
He thought that's just, yeah.
He stopped after it and waited for the laughter. In his mind, that was gold.
Ugh.
And it was like the most awkward 30 seconds because he really waited for the laughter.
Uh-huh.
And everyone in the room, because I'm thinking, you've got no idea who's in this room. Like, you might be speaking to people that have lost children, even people that can't conceive. There's so many different people in here that now probably hate you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was this.
And I hate it more for bending reality to make this shit joke work. Because that's really jarring if someone. One example I have is I saw somebody talking about, they saw somebody's status and it was about their mom dying or something and they clicked like. And I was like, oh, I shouldn't like that. So I unliked it, but it just liked it again. And I tried to unlike it and it liked it like 7 or 8 times. You can't multiple like Facebook status.
Once you say like it, it's just there.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't do
like anything. He never used Facebook. Are you just, is this AI written this? Because this was way back as well. This was before you could even get the options of like the things.
Especially if it's stuff that people know about.
Mm-hmm.
You just go, that's just terrible. And it was, but this guy came off and his first thing was, oh, the audience weren't great tonight, were they? I was like, they were fine.
Yeah.
You're an arsehole.
Yeah, you fucked it.
That was all you.
I feel like not being able to blame yourself early in your career is a surefire way that you'll never, ever be professional.
I think not.
You need to talk.
I think you've got to accept accountability for the good and the bad.
Mm-hmm.
I do think when it comes to an audience, like, it's your job. They've bought the laugh.
Uh-huh.
They've already paid for the laugh. Mm-hmm.
Deliver.
It's your job to deliver.
And if you don't deliver, feel bad about it. Do some troubleshooting and try not to shortchange the next crowd that's similar to that one.
I've done it where I've got jokes wrong, and it's just made me think, right, that word choice isn't as good as saying it like this.
Mm-hmm.
The next time you do it, right, now it's better. Take a bigger break. I mean, you've got to. I mean, you can learn from good gigs. You learn from any sort of bad gig as well.
Aye. And you can learn from turning up and watching the entire gig. I hate it when they come in for their spot and fuck off on their new material.
I really, really like to, any gig I'm doing, I need to get there. I don't like to turn up late. I'll get there for the whole gig. Because plus, I want to know what the context is of what everyone else has said. Because if it's, there's times I've turned up to gigs and there's been two comics before me that have spoken about their kids. So I'm now not going to go up and speak about my kids.
Yeah, or at least make it so it makes the whole show flow and you tie it in. Someone was saying, I was chatting in the backstage about that, and then I was saying this.
And sometimes it's nice to do a callback from earlier in the show.
Yeah.
But you can only do that if you've been there.
Uh-huh.
So, I'm with you. People that sort of turn up just before their spot and then just leave.
That's one thing that's great about this festival is you don't just call back to the show that you're on.
Yeah.
You can call back to previous shows.
Well, I did because that yesterday.
Uh-huh.
There was a joke that I did about my dad yesterday that was from, it was a callback from Monday's show.
Great.
And I wasn't going to do it. I thought, you know what? They have been all week. Mm-hmm. Let's see how much on my set they remember.
Yeah.
And like 80% of them got it. I was like, yes.
You know, it's I done a call back after Rob Rose had just done the song about the little horse with a massive cock on the drive to the all night garage.
Yeah,
the little horse, but he does it in like such a jazz kind of.
Yeah,
it's so fucking funny. And then when I went on after him, I was like, that song there was actually about Ryan Cullen. It called back to 2 years ago
when we done jokes
about the size of Cullen's cock and not only the people who were there 2 years ago got it, but it become part of Altitude lore.
Yes.
That, it's the chat of, what's happened in previous Altitudes, the chat on the gondolas. People talk about things that happened at previous festivals when they're filling in the newcomers, what's happened, and then they're getting callbacks to something that happened 2 years ago.
And Ryan Cullen's penis is now that of legend.
It's that of legend, and it's attached to that man.
Yeah.
What a fucking waste.
What a waste. He still won't chat to me. I've tried multiple times outside because I wasn't there that day.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, just let me see it. I've tried getting drunk. It just won't happen.
Did you see what I did? Yeah, brother Jack Matthew. I went up to Jack, right? And I was just in my snowboarding gear. I was at the top of the mountain and I had my boxes on, but I just pulled my salopettes for it. I went, do you want to look at my cock? He was like, no. And I went, God, you've changed since you were 9.
Oh, you prude. You never approved when you were a kid.
I never approved as a kid. I've known him since he was 9. Such a funny thing. Hey, did you see Paul Smith on the... if you were on the balcony when Mark Nelson said that about his kids, you would have seen Paul Smith's take the lad in the front row's phone.
Yes.
You were there, there for that. So he's called Dom and he's there. He's a group of Welsh lads, isn't there? I think it was a dad that used to bring his kids. The kids are adults now. They bring all their mates.
Dickhead Dom.
Yeah. He is just infamous about the festival now. He's a really good sport, actually. He's not been a dick.
He's going to be something of legend now as well. Dickhead Dom will be part of the Altitude stories that go ahead from here on out.
So this is what went down, right? He was on his phone, phone pointing at Paul Smith while Paul Smith was hosting. And he was like, the fuck are you doing on your phone at the gig? And he was like, oh, one of my friends is meant to be here but isn't here. I'm Snapchatting him just to give him FOMO or whatever. He was just trying to put him off. He was trying to make his mate angry instead of living in the moment, which he always be a dick by doing that. And then Paul snatched his phone and then he started looking at the messages between, and then he saw a notification from Andrew Tate and he was like, oh, you are a fucking bellend. Yeah. Right? And then when he came out to one of his friends on Instagram or Snapchat or something, came out to one of his friends, and then he was like, I bet you've got dick pics on here. And he started scrolling through and fucking Dom lost his mind. He jumps off his seat. He started chasing Paul around the venue.
Benny Hill. They were just running. You needed the music. They're literally just running around. And I was like, they're both actually quite rapid. So it did look like quite
and you had all that pushing chairs out to try and block Dom, and Dutch would stand in the way.
I'll tell you what Paul Smith done really well. He took it right to the line of frustration.
Yeah, he doubled down.
Yeah.
He was as long as this lad's got a smile on his face, I'm doing it.
And he gave it back at the right time.
Perfect time, yeah. Because it was when he was defeated.
Yeah.
It was when he sat down, he was sweating, and he looked sad.
Yeah, because now the audience was starting to sympathise with him. And so when he did give it back, he got a nice round of applause for it as well. So I was like, he did really well of keeping that line, because I reckon I probably would have taken it too far.
Yeah.
Just because I thought this is hilarious.
Yeah, you would have sent it to someone. You would have sent it to someone.
I'd have texted mum or something. Yeah. I'd have found someone really
Because it's
weird
funny
to
in
do.
The room at the time when everyone's kind of in on it. And then all of a sudden, like, the festival's over and you're like, did you hear what Emmanuel did?
He ruined a guy's life. It was really weird.
But he found a dick pic, and it wasn't even Dom's dick.
It wasn't his dick, and it was edited.
It was photoshopped to be bigger.
That was the weird part.
He photoshopped someone else's dick bigger. And he was saying, like, it was because something about his friend had posted it, and he made it bigger for him and sent it back. I still don't understand how that would come about.
I'm like, that's a lie. I reckon you wanted to send it to a girl, and you wanted to make it look like that was yours.
I'd get the images written on it.
Yeah. And it was black.
It was mine. Oh, it's so funny. And then Nina Gilligan got him up last night as well.
And again, he was a good sport about that. He's been a good sport the whole way through, actually.
I think he's quite enjoyed it, actually.
Yeah.
I think he's enjoyed that. Everybody on the slopes knows who he is.
Yeah.
Even though they're calling him Dickhead Dom, and they know he's got weird dick pics on his phone and all that. Like, they don't know when he hates him. Everyone thinks he's a good kid.
Yeah. Do you know what? And he is. He's a nice dude. But he's been involved in every story that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And most of it is his own fault.
Yeah. And yeah, he keeps turning up at the gigs. Oh, and we recorded a podcast on the mountain. This one's going to come out before it. So this is going to come out because we've got a bit of editing to do for the one that we did on the mountain. How much are you into football?
Oh, not even a little bit. I know nothing about football.
Okay, so an ex-manager of Newcastle United was in the podcast. We had to do it like silent disco.
Yeah.
Because instead of having the PA, because it was outdoors and it would have been weird, the atmosphere of it. So we didn't use the silent disco so they could hear us when we were talking to the mic, like they all just listen to a podcast.
Oh, that's
at home.
Cool.
And I mentioned about how I saw Alan Pardew on the mountain and they were like, he's in the audience now. And I was drunk. I'd been doing whiskey tasting and that. And I was like, Alan, get on the podcast right fucking now. And he got up and jumped on the podcast.
That's very cool.
And he's been at every single gig.
Has he?
Ex-Newcastle manager, hasn't missed a single show.
But again, that's what's nice about it. Everyone goes to pretty much everything.
Uh-huh.
So it's like one long gig. And I think we spoke about it earlier, the standard of comics. You've got a festival full of closers.
Mm-hmm.
So you go, you've got to be great.
Yeah.
You've got to be great now. Like, you see, Rob Rouse, this week has been absolutely incredible. I still think it's, I told Jack what I said about him when he told me that he wasn't that.
This is funny, tell this story.
Accidentally put my foot in it with
Jack Lido.
It was meant to be, the running order was meant to be Jack Leto on, Rob Rouse, Jack Leto, then me closing.
Mm-hmm.
Because they needed another act for the gala show, mm-hmm. and Brett wanted to.
And we're running late.
Well, we were running late and he wanted to cut the show down. He's gone,
Take Jack out.
Out you go, you'll do the gala. And then Jack's coming, I'm just in the toilet. He's gone to the toilet, he's gone, by the way, I'm not on today because they want to cut the show down. I'm doing the gala show. So it'll just be Rob, then you. And just as instinct, because of Rob's show the other night, I went, oh, I don't want to follow Rob. And I was like, oh, I don't want to follow you either, mate. I didn't want to follow you as well.
But Rob, though.
Oh, man, and it was like, this is really awkward now. There's no sort of, because what I meant was.
How did he respond? Because
I think he was so tired it went over his head.
Did it? Right, because you know what? Like,
until I brought it up at the gig.
I don't know how long, yeah, you mentioned it on the show. I don't know how long Jack's been going.
Yeah.
But I know Rob's been going a lot longer than I have.
Yes.
He's got a wealth of experience under his belt.
Yeah.
I would not be offended if someone was like, I'd rather follow me than Rob. I'm like, yeah, of course. Like,
Because what I was talking about was, me and Jack are very, very different acts.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes a really good palate cleanser to have him on and then me.
Yeah,
because
it's a gear change.
Yeah. Because you've got Rob, who's going to be doing a lot of observational stuff. I'm going to be doing a lot of observational stuff. And we do stuff at very different paces. So it would have been nice to have that gap between the two of us.
Uh-huh.
And then when he's, I was nervous enough anyway, and then through his set, and his set was...
He ends on a song as well.
His set was going great to the level you go, all right, I'm gonna match this level. And then he does that song that just does that.
Uh-huh.
And even behind stage, Paul Smith, everyone goes to me, you got to go after that.
It's just getting like the crowd are reaching that peak and you can see the song is coming to crescendo. And I just turned to you and Paul Smith and Scott Bennett and Brett and all that were there. And I was like, I'll bring you straight on. And everyone was like, what?
I was like, absolutely not, please. I need you to do a solid 20 of bad jokes as well. And even Paul's like, I would just bring you straight on.
Couldn't move that.
Yeah, no. I'd have wanted to do the same.
You would be able to be mad at me if I brought you straight on. You'd have been allowed to be mad.
Oh, that would be. That'd be me. And do you know what? Anyone following Rob Rouse, like, he's been on form this week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. He's, even watching this set yesterday.
When he was bent over on the table, he dragged the table in and he was bent over on the table just like talking through his prostate exam.
Yeah.
It was perfect. He's got so many little lines in there that like, everything's incredible anyway, but there's extra lines in that are just like...
There's so many little comedy bombs throughout the whole set.
That one where he was crushing, they couldn't have been laughing harder, and he looked at them like they weren't on board and went... You've got to come with me on this one.
Yeah.
It was such a funny thing to do.
I said to him last night, got to the point of that show, I went past laughter.
Uh-huh.
I was like...
It became awe, didn't it? We were in awe. Like, people like looking at each other in disbelief at the back of the room, all the comics and crew.
Yeah, because we were just like, just wow.
Mm-hmm. And every gig he's done has been like that.
And there's such, you know, when you're watching a comic set, and there'll be times where you will see the punchline coming, or you'll see a line coming, or they'll do something, you go, do you know what, I've got a topper for that. There was none of that for him.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the lines that he did, like when he referred to his arsehole as Columbo's working eye.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, beautiful. God, that...
And the thing is, as well, he had like a couple of taglines on that I missed because I was laughing at that.
Yeah.
Because I could hear that he was still like, I couldn't even do it justice because I only half heard it, but there was like additional lines on that.
Yeah.
Whereas that created such a wave that he just made that wave a little bit higher and a little bit higher.
And you, he's the kind of comic you'd have to watch his special three times to get all of it.
Because
you'd be too busy laughing stuff. You'd have to pause part of it and go back.
I think he probably has got the highest words per minute out of everyone here, doesn't he?
100%.
And none of them are wasted.
There was zero fat on that set at all. Everything that was in there on purpose and needed to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
And even the little bits that, like when you repeat stuff, he goes, come on, just grow up, you know. And like he just took us on such a journey, and you can see everything. Like, it's, you imagine it in his head when he's bent over on the table and the doctor's wife's come in. Everything about that set yesterday was incredible.
And another good Altitude first time debut. Scott Bennett has been on fire. Like, he's just started skiing again. He hasn't done it since he was a kid.
Yeah.
And he's done that again. And he's been up there just analysing, observing, and just coming down with like fresh, like local from the resort.
I'll tell you something about Scott Bennett. Mm-hmm. I reckon Scott Bennett, you could put him in any era of comedy.
Yeah.
And he'd still work.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's timeless.
Yeah.
And he's so likable as well. He's just always fun to
mass appeal as well.
Yeah,
mass appeal. It's hard to appeal to like young people, old people, and all that without being too pedestrian and sanitized. And that loses a bit of edge. He doesn't lose his edge. He can do the most wholesome shit and have you howling without without feeling like he's pandering to people that don't like swearing or whatever.
You don't even notice him swearing.
Nah.
You know what I mean.
Mm-mm.
And so, I like, even saying that, I'm thinking, I can't tell you any time that he actually swears.
Nah, because it's irrelevant. He's funny as fuck.
Yeah.
So, your festival has been watching comedy and on the booze, but what have you been doing while we've been up the mountain? What's been your What's been your day to day?
Oh, I've
like
had,
get up at 12.
I've been getting up at 12, and I've been. I'm having the holiday of a 9-year-old girl, pretty much. I've been reading Twilight.
Oh, genuinely?
Yeah.
Because, like, from what I've seen, it's been an 18 to 30 club rep.
Oh, that's the evening.
That's the evening.
No, that's the evening. During the day.
You're reading your diary.
And I keep saying to her, I'm not drinking tonight. And I've had, even, when was it? When I do the late show, I think it was Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like to drink before a set. And I think this week has shown everyone why. It's that my Monday set was so hungover.
Uh-huh.
And Marcus had come out and said about how hungover I was. So I thought, you know what? I'm not even going to mention it. I'm going to go out there and do this set, and no one's going to know. And within about 3 minutes, my legs just went, I was like, I've got to sit down. And I went to sit because I looked around for a stool.
Mm-hmm.
No stool, but there is the stairs.
Yeah.
So I thought, just sit on the stairs. Gracefully just sit down and have a chat with them. The moment I started to bend, I realized that the stairs were a lot further away than I thought. And just crumpled onto the stairs, and it was like a punchline. Everyone in the room just went, "Yeah, he's fucked."
After Marcus had set it up,
yeah. And literally at that point, I was like,
"Sat like Billy Madison."
I'm gonna take the second because I need this. Yeah. I was like, "Well, I'll come and talk to you in a minute." And then what I didn't realize that when I got off the stage, I hadn't fully walked off the stage before I went. Oh.
Oh, yeah, because of the little wings, the altitude thing, so you just kind of stood where you thought you were behind that, but you're still in view because you're not at the curtain yet.
No, I was still at massive view, but I thought I was off stage, so I sort of just gave up before I even got off stage.
Amazing.
So I don't really drink before shows, and that'd be why.
I had one on my gala show where I went to say something that was like stealing my mother's vodka and sharing it out for my friends.
Yeah.
And all of the words just turned into one word, and I was just blah, 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 blah. And it was like, I felt like the bit on Bruce Almighty,
yeah,
where he gets Steve Carroll, the newsreader, to like, blah, blah, blah. I'd done a second of that on stage, and I was just like, what the fuck just happened to me?
It was bad. Well,
I just glitched.
It was on the Wednesday that I had the late night show.
Mm-hmm.
So because it was so late, I was like, all right, well, Wednesday I'm not drinking because I'm not going to drink before the show. By the time the show's done, it's going to be too late to drink then anyway. Like, mm-hmm. You can't until it start drinking when it's going to be like midnight now.
Yeah.
But the show was so much fun, literally instantly came off. I was like, right, we're going to Scotland Yard, who's coming?
Yeah.
And I said, I'd asked anyone.
Yeah. And then it was everyone's like us.
Yeah,
of course we are.
And next thing you know, it's gig. 4:30 in the morning, and we're in that dive bar down there. Apropos. Yeah, and
Apropos isn't as bad.
Apropos,
Scotland Yard, they're just like, I don't know what, they're going to make so much money in there, but they just don't want to serve you.
Yeah, they take a long time.
They just take a long time to serve you, and they, I end up just taking my own drinks in.
Loads of people do.
Yeah, you're not going to wait 45 minutes for a drink.
And it's always packed in there.
Yeah.
I mean, you could I reckon they'd get more staff in that would get it served quicker. But they're in there, it's packed, but the navigation of, like, it's one-way traffic. There's no room to have that bar 3 deep.
Yeah.
And that's where it does feel really, really packed.
Yeah, we've been going to Apropos instead, which is like foosball tables and snooky like pool and shit.
Oh, foosball tables. We played the slosses.
Did you win?
Did we win?
Oh, we did.
We didn't win at all. Like the slosses.
Me and you played them.
No. I can't remember who I was playing with.
I couldn't remember that. I definitely got not you. I got beat off you and Jack.
We got beat off off Daniel and his brother, and there was a point where they were playing, and neither one of them blinked, and they just went switch, and they just seamlessly swapped positions. I was like, They've done this before.
Yeah,
we're about to lose very badly.
This is how they spent all their family holidays.
Yeah, I was like, there's no point in me being here. They're just going to win.
They're like that. We had a table tennis table in one of the spots in Australia. It's in Australia, in Brisbane, the Gold Coast. And they were just all of them smashing us.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're well versed at billiard games.
that was. It's been a whole.
Were you here at any other times when they turned into a naked bar because of the foosball?
No.
Glenn Wool started that tradition, and it happened on a couple of altitudes it started off where, like, if you lose a ball, you take an item of clothing off.
Right.
And then the next one, you get another item off, then you'd like deciding whether socks one or two or whatever. And then it was Glenn just down to his boxers, and a ball went in, and he just went, fuck it. He just took his boxes off. Next thing you know, every fuck I played and every fuck I was naked by the end of it, because he's nice. Always conceding goals. So it was just practically naked bar and apropos. I'm glad that tradition's come to an end.
Well, they
because I was in better nick back then.
They can serve to all they want to. And the reason they stopped serving us the other night was they were like, oh, there was someone collapsed in the toilet. So
right.
So you've all had enough.
Oh, is that how the work last orders there? They just when the night's at an end.
Yeah.
They're just like, going, people are going home.
I'd rather you just go, I'm tired, I want to go home.
Aye.
But don't take it out on all of us because one person that wasn't even part of our party.
Just check their driving license and put them in all the way from Austria through the Channel Tunnel.
Just send them back that way, be fine. Yeah. Although you get there and they've moved, it doesn't matter. It'd be fine. this week is, yeah, I've spent most of it reading. Rereading Twilight.
Yeah, I've never read it once.
Oh, I'm doing.
Is it just like brain chewing gum? Is it easy reading? Watch your leg against that chair leg just for the.
No, so basically, I'm doing, what's it called? Celebrity Mastermind.
Uh huh.
And I quite.
Yeah, your specialist subject
was Twilight.
For the gimmick? And you're reading
I thought it was funny as a gimmick, and they took me seriously and went perfect. And I thought, fuck.
Wow.
So they've sent me all of the books.
Do you know what Maxwell did?
What did he do?
Lebanon.
Oh, did he?
He chose Lebanon as his specialist subject.
That's very much.
He just researched Lebanon to fuck.
Yeah. That's got Maxwell all over it. He knows a lot about a lot.
Yeah. That's what I love when he's comparing, when he asks somebody where they're from. He doesn't just think, man, if I ask somewhere where they're from, I'll probably break into a routine about second languages or something, right? I'm going to
it doesn't matter where they're from. Where they're from, because I know that I'm going to draw a blank.
Yeah, you'd never do ask them.
I know so little and then about a lot of stuff.
Occasionally, I'll have a story about where they're from because we travel around right? No matter where someone's from, Maxwell knows about the politics of the town and about their industry and
history bits history, in there.
Yeah,
and weirdly enough, it'll be local knowledge as well.
Yeah, uh-huh, right down to the village.
Marcus has also, he's been incredible this week at comparing. Oh. His bit yesterday on how the people saying the Queen was funny, it was just brilliant. And that story about him borrowing money off his neighbour, that whole setup was, he's such a good
comment. Yeah, she was meant to die. Yeah. She's still alive. I thought she was going to die. She was ill.
Oh, it's been like every part of this week. Oh, I couldn't pick a bad part.
Do you know what happened to Maxwell when you know how he was ill on the first
night,
which is that's why I've been doing so many gigs, is because there's been like spots to fill and I've kind of been the knock on, like, you know, Rob Rose went on to the Gala show. There's now a spot available on the nightclub as well. So he decided that when he comes back, he's going to make sure he's got like a fucking solid set of new material that they haven't seen. He's here every year. He just wants to come back with a bang. And he went through his podcast and he was like taking little notes, funny things that he said, like, we can put this together. I've been working on this bit, put this there. And he had like sheets and sheets of paper.
Yeah.
Solid 2 hours getting this set together. And now he's just got to memorize it. So he's like, I'm going to go downstairs, I'm going to get a cup of tea, I'm going to come back up. And he come back up and all of his notes had blown away off the balcony. And he hit the guy in the street looking for sheets of paper. He found one in a puddle.
So yesterday, just before the show, I went into the dressing room to go to the toilet, and he had a load of papers on, and they did look quite weird. So now that makes sense.
Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah, that
just, they're just all
like,
spread out
like an old treasure map.
Yes, and he was trying to figure out which part to say, and he was like, "I've got nothing right now."
Mm.
But that's the thing. I find that so impressive that he can, in that time, go, here's a 20 that looks rehearsed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because it really did. It was so solid.
Yeah.
Because, like, I went up a couple of weeks ago and done Red Raw and just tried out some new material. I was doing a 20-minute spot, but I was like, let's see how far I can get. I got, like, 15. But it was sloppy.
Yeah.
And I did, like, get to the end of bits and completely forget what was coming next and have to do the, like, slow walk over to my drink. like to pull, like, there's no way I would have got up and done the gala.
No.
With that.
No.
With that batch. I want to run that at least 20 times before I think I can deal at the gala. But that's confidence. That's confidence in your ability.
Yes, and the experience in it as well. Mm-hmm. There's, especially, I mean, if you've got a topic that you know well, it's like if you've been MC'd and someone will just say something that sparks something that you know really well, mm-hmm. and you're able to just do it.
Yeah.
But when it's, like, well, just having this conversation with one of the open spots when it comes to new material, a lot of the difference is confidence.
Because,
so I actually never really do new material nights, because in my mind, anywhere I go, most of them haven't seen me before. To them, it's new material.
Yeah.
If I can do it confidently. So sometimes.
But it's more about the muscle memory.
Yeah. But I was like, I've just got to do it. See, and I want it to, I need the danger of it not working.
So you'd go on like a weekend at the Glee. Yeah, and you'd put in a bit new.
I've done that countless times.
I do that when I'm hosting.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I'm hosting and I'm doing
it. I will sandwich it in between bits that I know work.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'll have something that I've been working on, and because it's kind of similar to, so for example, there's got about a 15 minute bit that's all about my kids. And I've been writing new stuff since then. So I did the first bit that landed really well. And I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to do the new bits and see how that works. Mm-hmm. I can go home and rewrite them.
Yeah.
But I prefer to try and do it like that.
There's some bits where you just know, though.
Yeah.
There's some bits where like you've written it really well and it's a bit of a tongue twister. And it's kind of, you don't want to like fumble the words because the punchline will fail. If the setup's weak.
Now what I want to do, because we're turning out more comedy and more content, and I'm doing stuff which is where your material is going to get burnt now.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to see if I can do what Maxwell's done and go and write out a set and then go and do it the week after. And I'm saying the week after, he's done it the day
after. He's done it the day, yeah. Like, whale sick.
Yeah, whilst really,
bronchitis,
really ill.
Was it?
Sorry?
Bronchitis. Oh, yeah.
Because you've got, like, in London, we've got the old rope shows that happen on a Monday.
I've never done that one. That's been around since the start of time.
I've never done it, and I'm like, I should do it, because Mondays are down at home.
Is the promise that, like, you hold the rope if you're going to do something you've done before?
I think it's just because it's called Money for Old Rope.
Yeah, but did they used to have a rope, though?
I've no idea. I've never been there.
That's one of them folklore things that I don't know if it was true. But yeah. if you're gonna do something you've done before, at least let them know.
It's just where pros go to do new material.
Mm-hmm.
But in London, we're quite lucky that we've got places like Top Secret, which is a brilliant club to go and do new material, because it's known for that.
Yeah,
a lot of acts. And plus, as a punter, they love it because they never know.
Even the weekend shows are known to be like that as well.
They can be, yeah.
Yeah.
So they prefer you don't.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are going to.
If you're going to drop in midweek.
You might get. So you can drop in there midweek, but you might pay £1 to go there on a Friday night and Romish turns up.
Yeah, got you.
Mickey Flanagan turns up. And they're going to go and do.
So it's mutually beneficial. Like, it's great for the audience because they're going to get to see those guys, and it's great for the bigger guys because they get to come and do.
And they always send out an email going, you're getting an email saying, special TV guest tonight. Mm-hmm. And you know it's going to be someone like big.
Yeah.
So then the shows, or they're trying to get a new venue now as well.
Mother.
A second venue.
A second venue.
Because they started from the basement, now they've got the room upstairs, which has just been changed. It's much, much better now.
Mm.
And their big room works really well. So they're doing really well. And so many pro comics know that if you want to go and do some open stuff, quite that nice now is. And it's one of those feelings that made me go, do you know what? You are a pro comic now. Because I was speaking to Mark, who runs it. It was like, yeah, just pop down when you want.
That's great.
And it just made me feel really, really good.
You've got the pass.
Yeah, that you can just turn
like,
up and
that's,
go.
That's like the comedy equivalent of having the keys to the city.
Yeah.
They're like, that stage is yours whenever you need it.
Yeah, if you want to come down. Like, and they're saying, if you ever want to do work in progress, whatever you want to do, just let us know. We'll book you in. Because I remember, and this is probably going back maybe 6 years, I was... just sort of get into the point where I'm working on getting my 20s at the store, and I've got to Top Secret, and I'm meant to be doing a 20, and this is a 20 that I was looking to do because Comedy Central were coming down to watch the set, and Romish turned up to do a set, so he was like, "Yeah, you're only doing a 10 now," and I was just like, "You get it,"
yeah.
But you go.
So they bumped your time.
Yeah. So now that
did you overrun
to go down? Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't, because
because the store in there.
Yeah, and plus I was on after Romish. I wanted to get off that stage as quickly as I could. Mm-hmm. I'd have quite happily just gone and gone, hi, yeah. and bye.
I love that with the Comedy Store. Like, last day I was in there, John Bishop was on.
Yeah.
And it's class, because, like, what we were saying there about, like, you getting the drop-in privileges on Top Secret, it's a whole new level to get the drop-in privileges on the Comedy Store, isn't it?
Like, when that day comes, that's when you go, yeah, you've got this.
Uh-huh.
And that's the thing. He did, oh, God, I'll tell you about the greatest, worst experience with the drop-ins ever in my life. And
were you there when Barrymore came?
No. Chris Rock.
Chris Rock dropped in?
Yeah. He was doing the Palladium. So Chris Rock's turned up. And we're all getting told that Chris Rock's turning up. Now, I've got a really stupid, childish brain.
Uh-huh.
My brain will start imagining stuff and then convince me that it's going to happen. So it's like, Chris Rock's turning up. We're going to meet. We're going to become best friends. He's going to ask me to tour with him around the world. We're probably going to start doing films together. So I'm going to help him reignite his film career. He's going to help me. And all of this, I'm like, we're probably going to be best friends. He might get married again.
You like the advert with Robert De Niro?
You went over through this whole scenario and I was like, all of this is going to start with our first handshake when we realize that we are friends. And as I'm walking back from the bar towards the green room, Chris Rock walks in to the Comedy Store. Uh-huh. So now we're like ships passing.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is what I just thought. This is about to happen. And we both nodded at each other. We gave each other the black guy nod.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing.
Yeah, and in London, you're nodding to a lot of people.
We gave each other the nod. And I got so into the nod that when I reached out to shake his hand, I didn't look at what he was doing, which was reaching up to spud me. So I've gone to shake his hand as he's gone to spud me, and we just stopped like that. And then it was just the most awkward.
You better have cracked the joke.
I didn't.
Rock, paper.
Rock, paper. I was so embarrassed.
It was there.
It was there.
But also, you'd probably heard it.
Yes.
And to him, you're a muggle.
So because I panicked, I'm like, don't say it. My hand just slowly covers his hand softly as well.
Uh-huh.
And we're just like, and then gone. And then where's my phone? I'm going to show you.
So the experience you thought you were going to have with Chris Rock is the exact experience I had with Alan Pardew.
I'm going to show you this picture, right? And when you go to caption this, I will send you the picture to put on this, because I've got it.
Someone caught the photo of you?
No, worse. So at the end of the night, after he'd done his set, all the comics were like, look, can we get a picture? And everyone got a picture. And you can see very, very clearly on mine that he does not want to be there. Look at how awkward he is. He's got no interest. He's got no interest of ever seeing me again.
He's come on, man. Yeah. I'm backstage. This is my safe space.
Yeah. He doesn't want to be anywhere near me at that point. It was just such an awkward meeting.
Question, was this before or after the Altitude Year 2022, where me and you and Colin kept slapping each other on stage? It'd be like, keep your name up my fucking mouth. Every time we slagged each other off on stage, you just hear the footsteps and you go, I'm going to get slapped.
Yeah, it was after that.
It was after that?
Yeah, it was after that one. Oh, and that's the third fact. He walked on stage and went, I'm not going to talk about the slap. And everyone just lost their shit.
Yeah.
That was about enough as he needed to. He spoke about it in the special. But that night was definitely...
So it's like, on paper, you're like, I met Chris Rock, I gave with Chris Rock last night, dream come true. But in reality, Instagram versus reality, I made a hash of the intro, he didn't want a photo with us.
But because I say it casually, it sounds cooler. Yeah. I met Chris Rock last night.
Yeah. What a thing. So it works. We're going to wrap up now because we're going to go to the late shows and stuff and maybe eat some fondue. You've got a podcast to plug. Has it come out yet?
It hasn't come out yet. It's going to be coming out in the next few weeks.
But you've recorded a few episodes.
We're a few episodes in. We're getting ready to launch. It's called Banging Gym. So we've already got the links ready. So you can go and follow us already on Instagram, TikTok. And then they'll be released just over a month.
And it looks amazing. I had a little look at your studio there, and yeah, your clips
been,
and everything.
It's been a lot of fun to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's been really nice with it. And it's me and a PT called Richard Callender. He's Davina McCall's PT.
Mm.
And so he's done a load. He's got a whole wealth of knowledge around the subject.
Yeah, so does he work with her on all the DVDs and stuff?
He does, he's done a load of the DVDs. He used to, remember the show The Biggest Loser?
Uh-huh.
So he was one of the PTs on that as
Got
well.
Got you, right.
Yeah, and so annoyingly, this dude's like, as long as I've known him, he's always been jacked. And my friend gave me, it was one of those things you say to someone that trains that just crushes you. Because I showed him the video to get his opinion, like, what do you think of this? He goes, you know what? I think it's really cool that you're that comfortable that you don't mind getting someone bigger than you to sit on the podcast. And my heart broke. I was like, really believe that we were sort of the same height, same
actually,
size.
I didn't actually think you were big at all.
Yeah.
So I was like, somebody clearly does.
I was like,
and then now your podcast set up, you're just a little bit closer to the camera.
So now I'm my editing has changed where I'm going, bit. I was like, no, we'll put your chair slightly down. It's easy.
You're getting dickhead dumped to Photoshop you a little bit bigger. So keep an eye out for that podcast coming out. You can find Emmanuel on all the social medias. Emmanuel Sanubi, you got your name,
no, Emmanuel Stand Up. No one knows how to spell the surname ever.
That's
so
true.
Just Emmanuel Stand Up.
Emmanuel Stand Up.
With two M's as well. People always forget that. And when I'm at gigs, the most cool, you think it's very cool what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to a level where you do some very cool gigs. There's nothing less Hollywood than typing your own name into someone's phone and then following yourself.
Yeah,
I was like, so two M's. Everyone always misses that one.
Yeah, so find that. And also, now is about a good time to start saving up for Altitude 2025.
Yeah.
Because
I think I'm going to come next year just for the sake of it.
That's exactly. If I wasn't booked out, because they've got the pool acts that are regulars,
yeah,
right? But they haven't always got 100% of those acts because that wouldn't work.
Yeah.
You need to have like 50 to 75% of those guys.
And they want to bring new acts in.
And then bring new acts in to give it a fresh feel.
Yeah.
But also have the running core. So you're going to be swapped in and out.
Yeah.
Like Colin and Elliot are swapped out this year and Gareth, but like me and Daniel are back in. And
yeah,
that kind of like churn and rotation of people. But if I was at home and not booked, I'd come as a punter.
Yeah.
100% would. Now, next year, I might be in Australia, but I'm not entirely sure. So I'm going to be figuring out that. I would even try and work out how to get here from Australia.
I think this is the best comedy festival there is.
It's every time it's the best week I ever have in my life. And it's for staff room. It's for Christmas party.
Yeah.
It's where we all get to hang out. This we're all doing our own
tours. It's the comedian's holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I love this week. So my I'll tell you this quickly. My kids are on their club rugby tour, and I coach my son's rugby team. So if I'm not here next year, I know I will probably be on that tour as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I already know that I'm going to hate every second of it.
Because
I'm not here.
So since your first Altitude, you haven't missed one, have you?
I haven't missed one.
I can't even explain to you how bad that FOMO is.
Yeah.
You could be doing anything in the world
this
and
is
you're,
why
you're devastated you're not here.
When Brett was saying, like, do you want to do Altitude? Because I said to him, you got me for Altitude, right? And he goes, do you want to do it again? I was like, yes. Because you've done it like this. I think this is like my fourth year.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I don't want to miss it.
I'm coming whether you
I'm
going
to be there.
Yeah. And you may as well utilise this while I'm here. There was 2019, me and Ian Cottmajor were on the same bill in Melbourne.
Right.
And we were both just miserable for a week.
Yeah.
In Melbourne. Fucking.
It is. This is the best comedy festival. And everyone, like Dara Brim, absolutely annihilated that room yesterday.
It was class. I could have watched the same set again immediately after.
Yeah.
It was that good. There was so much to it.
Yeah.
That I was like, again, like let's watch it, like some of your favourite music.
Yes. And again, when I went past laughing, it was just awe. Just having that conversation with the dude.
Everyone's been on amazing form, and I think you bring it out of each other because you're in an environment, like you said, where everyone's great. So you're like,
you've got to step. No one wants to be the one that go, oh, they were all right this year. You don't want to be, because that's the level that everyone is here.
Yeah,
you've got, like I said, you've got a lineup of closers.
Uh huh. And you just got to keep up with the pack.
Yeah.
And I think for the most part, everyone's fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
So I see us, and hopefully see us here in 2025. But there's a podcast that were recorded up the mountain live. Paul Smith's on it, Mark Nelson's on it, and fucking Alan Pardew's on it. Laurie Smith, Seamus Nelson, yeah. Sonny Vincent. These are children that I'm rhyming off, by the way. It was so inappropriate. So that's going to be out when it's ready, which will probably be after this one. Thanks, Emmanuel. Cheers, buddy.